Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for Euro 2020 is Amadeus. You can follow him on Twitter at PlusMoney and on Covers Experts at Soccer Authority. Amadeus, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to be here. Can't wait to talk some Euro Cup 2020, even though it's 2021, year later, but better later than never.
And that's actually the first thing I'm preparing for this show. And I'm like, why is it 2020? Because it was postponed last year. And what we're going to do is we're going to give something for everyone. One, the soccer fanatics who know all things international soccer, but also those of us who love to bet on sports and want to be an informed bettor for this and have some fun. Because the beauty of this tournament, it is a month long from June 11th to July 11th. So one of the reasons why you want to pay attention to this, there is a ton of betting opportunities. And that's actually where I want to start with first, the ways to bet this tournament. And let's start on the future side of things. I think it's the thing that is you're hearing talked about the most. We've got odds to win the tournament and then odds to win the group and or not qualify to come out of the group. What are your thoughts on the future side of things? Where does your mindset go there?
Yeah, so basically when you want to play the future on the full tournament, it's always good. You want to back probably maybe two or three teams that you really think are going to win, because right now the favorite to win the tournament is plus 450. So you're getting a lot of value there. And there's some teams, France, Belgium, England, that I would put those in the top three chance to win it. So definitely a lot of value if you spread out your bets a little more for the full tournament. Now, when it comes to group stage, I would stick to betting one single person, but the group stages, they're pretty cut and dry normally, because the way they do it, you'll never get four powerhouse teams in the same group. It's usually you get two strong big household name teams, and then you get like the lower grade teams like the Austrias, the North Macedonias, teams like that, that aren't strong or they aren't as strong as some of these other teams that are known for their soccer, like the Spains and the Germanys and the France's, all those types of teams. So yeah, I definitely think when it comes to group stage, you're going to want to really narrow in on probably the best chance that the best team. You want to look at the schedule too, but definitely because each team tends to play each other twice in the group stage. So definitely want to get, I would say, usually there's only two teams. When you look at the group out of the four, two teams, and it's a 50-50 chance you got. Very rarely will you see one of the third or fourth ranked teams upset a whole group. It's very rare. So then the not qualifying part, you said, like, so the top two teams in each group make it to the next round. So then that leaves two teams out. For that you're done, right? You gotta get your points and you gotta try and make it into those top two spots. So when playing teams to not qualify, it's hard to find value on those smaller teams. You're gonna want to pick a group that maybe has three household names in it. Like every now and then you will get that strong group that has three bigger name countries and then one smaller one. And then it's a lot easier to pick the weakest of those teams as to not qualify. You tend to get a lot of value on that kind of a play.
One thing that I'm curious about as it relates to the group stage is not a lot of us like laying heavy juice on things. So seeing a minus 185 favorite, as opposed to saying, listen, if you're going to be trying to pick one of these teams to come out, let's look in the plus money. Because one thing I keep hearing is the level of randomness that comes in tournaments like this, where it's not exactly cookie cutter in terms of who is going to come out. And then certainly on the flip side, makes complete sense if you've got multiple teams that could advance, meaning one of them is likely to not do it given the number of opportunities to get out of there. So what are your thoughts on focusing on the plus money teams to advance as opposed to betting on the favorites in the group stage?
100%. That's definitely the way I would go. You don't want to lay the minus 185 on a team to win the group, because that team, yeah, they're probably going to win the group, but do you want to risk it? Because like I said, there's usually two very strong teams in each group, so there's always that chance of an upset. So 100%, if you can get one of those, like let's say you're looking at a group of four and you say, okay, these two teams have the best chance to make it out, I would go for the one with plus money, because you never know what happens. Like one team I'm looking at this year to make an impact is Italy, for example. I look at a team like that, like they got something to prove. This is a big household name team, and they're coming off a year where they missed the 2018 World Cup altogether. They didn't qualify at all because they didn't take the group stage, the qualifying group stage, seriously, and then they ended up in a situation like that where they didn't make it. So I'm looking for teams like that. Like Italy, I would say I haven't memorized the groups, but I don't believe they're the favorite to win their group. That would be a team, for example, I'm looking at possibly to win the group, because I think they have something to prove in this tournament, and I think you'll be able to get them at plus money.
All right, so let's get to the individual games, because this is where the casual fan is going to see this on TV all the time, and it's our opportunity to bet. And I don't like tying up all my money in the future side of things. So looking here, we've got money line, spread, and over-unders. Where do you usually find that makes the most sense from a betting standpoint?
So I think for betting when it comes to soccer, totals are definitely the way to go. Sides are a lot harder, especially when you have the three-way money line in there. It makes it much more difficult when betting a total. You got a 50-50 shot as opposed to now you got the 33% chance with the three-way money line. Now, it's nice to play a side when you can get – the only time I would play a side would be for the draw, because usually those are above plus 200, and there's a lot of value on that when you're side betting. But – if it as to go for an actual side to win, I wouldn't take anything that's not plus money, because you can always find value on a side. Like you said, there's going to be upsets in the tournament, 100%. You got already North Macedonia. I mentioned them earlier. They're a Cinderella team right now. I've actually watched them play a few games. They're a pretty good team. They're a pretty good under team too. They tend to keep games pretty low scoring. So that's, I like to look for totals for sure. I find the totals, because you can look at the previous matches for a team and see, okay, this is a team that scores a lot of goals, or this is a team that plays a shoddy defensive match. So you know it's either going to be a high scoring game, or maybe they play a low scoring defensive game, like I mentioned with North Macedonia. So definitely I like to play totals. I think another spot you can find value on are corner kicks as well. Corner kicks is just one strategy I use for betting corner kicks. You can just look at how many corners each team has gotten in their last few games. And then if you mix that in with looking at the shot percentage, how many shots teams are taking on net, how many shots are hitting the net, you can gauge an average as to how often the ball is going to go out. If a team's pressing on the attack, even just looking at the matchup itself, if you have a really strong team facing a really weak team, you know that they're going to be dominating probably with over 60% possession for 90 minutes. So they're really going to pour on the attack, get lots of shots. That's going to lead to corner kicks. So that's another area that I would look at for plus money for sure as well.
So when looking at the totals, are there key numbers? So let's assume someone has no idea what a high total or a low total is. So can you help give us a baseline for, all right, this is an average game. This is what an under game looks like. This is what an over game looks like. And I get it. You could have two high power teams that can still go under, but we're talking just sort of a rule of thumb for better understanding on the totals.
So for totals, usually the average total for a soccer match will be 2.5. That's usually the standard line. Soccer tends to be more like hockey, where you don't see a large fluctuation of totals. It'll stay in that same 1.5 to 2.5 range. Sometimes even you'll know you have to use the Asian handicap, because the juice could be too high on the 2.5, but 1.5's a little iffy to play. So it's always good with totals to look at the Asian handicap to take an over 2 or an over 3. So basically when the line's juiced and they know the game's going to go over, over three is a nice play to take because you can usually get it at plus money. And if you think the game's going to go over 2.5 anyway, worst case you push. But I would only take that in the case where you know there's going to be a lot of goals, not something like, wait, maybe there's 2 or 3 goals in the match, as opposed to this is going to be a complete slaughter. With the unders, so I rarely would take an under that's 2 or 1.5. I find it very risky. A fluke penalty kick or just a bad defensive mistake, and all of a sudden that's costing you a bet. So definitely I would look, if the number's low enough, if you do get that 1.5, I would actually look to play the over most of the time, especially in these international matches. Teams are going to score. They're not, it's not like league play where these guys have been playing together all year round. There still is a chemistry aspect to these international teams. Yeah, they've been practicing together and they're doing their friendly matches right now, but still got to mesh together as a team. So definitely, I think if you see a low 1.5, 2, I actually lean to the over in those matches. I think there's more, that's where the value is, because you can end up getting an over 2 at plus 110 or something like that.
Can you explain what the Asian handicap is? Because I saw that when I was looking at my sports book and I was seeing like 0.075s, and I was trying to figure out how to correlate what that means.
Yeah, for sure. So the main markets only cover 1.5, 2.5, 3.5. It only goes by the half. So anything, if you want that nice round number for a push, for example, like you don't want to risk it, but you think there's going to be like the 2.5 is too high. So that's when you play the over 3. That gives you a chance where you get the push instead of just taking that chance. So the Asian handicap is good because it offers everything. So over 1, 1.25, 1.5, 1.75. So basically the way the 0.75 and 0.25s work is it's a double handicap. So if you took an over 0.75 and there was one goal in the match, the way the books grade that is that's actually half your bet goes towards over half a goal, and the other half of your bet goes towards the over 1. And that's how they get the 0.75. So actually, if there was one goal in the match, half your bet would push and half of it would cash. So double handicaps are something I like to stay away from because it can really water down a pretty good bet when you play like a 2-point. Instead of just taking the 3, I'd rather take the push than you take the 2.75, and then I'm sitting there like I'm getting half my bet back and then half profit on it. So
gotcha. That makes sense. Let's talk about, are there teams that historically are over teams or under teams? Because I think the casual fan will hear that, oh, this team is always an over team. They're scoring a ton of goals. Like I was listening to a podcast talking about in the lead up to this, one of the teams had scored 14 goals in 3 games. So you're like, wow, they look like an over team right now. So is there anyone that we should be on alert for? Because as casual bettors, what do we love? We love betting overs.
Yeah, so definitely, like I said, international, I think, is a lot better for overs than the league play just because of the chemistry aspect. Also, international soccer, there's a different element to it. Everybody gets into it. It's not just like the regular league fans. So there's like an extra energy in the crowds, just in the teams in general. I'm not sure how big the crowds will be, but I do know because it's scattered in different cities across Europe, these games. So teams to look for over. That team you mentioned, I believe they were talking about Italy, because I know they have scored 11 goals in their last 2 friendly matches. They won 7-0 and 4-0. So that's, like I said, Italy has something to prove in this tournament, and that's a team I would definitely watch for the over, because I think after missing out on the World Cup altogether, not even qualifying, they got something to prove, and they know they can't just leisure out every single game, because I personally, I'm Italian. I've watched Italy for a very long time, and I can tell you they're a lazy team. And this year, I don't think you're going to get that same laziness from them. They got younger players. They have better players. I think they're a good team to look for the over. I think Belgium for sure. I'm a little weary of Belgium right now. De Bruyne is currently out of the lineup with an injury that he picked up in the Champions League final. But I still think Belgium has a lot of depth. They're a very high scoring team as well. They like to destroy teams 6-0, 9-0, like it's nothing. These are the smaller teams. So they're a team. England, I think, has a lot of firepower as well. If you're looking to bet overs, they can definitely score goals. They have the talent to do so. For under teams, actually, I think Turkey is also a good over team as well. They tend to score a lot of goals. There's a lot of these teams actually tend to go over. Now, for unders, I would look for the lower teams. Anytime you get like two lower grade teams playing a match against each other, like your Switzerland's and your Austria's, not very high scoring teams. These are really teams that tend to excel at home as opposed to the road. That's another thing I would look at. A lot of these matches where they're being played could affect the total as well. For example, I know England's playing their game at Wembley, so they'll be home for that one. Whereas Belgium will be playing their game in Russia, so Russia gets to have a nice home match for that one.
And how much does that go into play? So I think a lot of people are going to be looking at some of these matchups. I know, and if we're going to look at regular NFL, there's a home field advantage one way or another. But with the uncertainty in terms of how many fans are going to be in the stands, how are you really capping how much a team is traveling and the impact that's going to have on whether it's the total or the line?
Yeah. So like I said, with the fans, I try to find out to see how many fans a building or the location is allowing. But even then, the fans don't fully dictate the way the total is going to go for me. I look at a home advantage. It also has to do with, like you said, the traveling and the comfort level for a team at home. Some teams just, they feel uncomfortable playing in another stadium that they're unfamiliar with. So you get that comfort when you play a home match in your own country. You know, you got to stay in your own country. You have that comfort, you know, the dressing rooms, the stadiums. There's also that aspect with Russia, for example. They're playing their game in St. Petersburg, very tough place to travel to. It's pretty deep into Russia. So just like, it's a lot. Where it's stationed and the airport and stuff like that, it's a lot of traveling and it's a hassle to get to. I've seen a lot of teams in Champions League, for example, when they play Zenit St. Petersburg, they've left unsure players like who are slightly injured out of the lineup just because they don't want to travel to that place. So I look at it like a travel aspect. I look at the fans. I think it's a collective mix of things for sure. But I do think home advantage can peel into the total, because a team that, if they're not favored to win the game, I think it still gives them a better chance. Whereas being on the road, the team could be completely hope. Finland, for example, plays awful on the road. This is a team, they can't score on the road. They can't win games on the road. Yet when they play at home, I've seen them win 2-3-0 before. So something about Finland, they don't like to travel. That's a team I'd look for, even the unders to bet when they're playing on the road in this tournament. I think Finland is not going to do well.
Looking at some of these teams here, I know you mentioned North Macedonia, and who doesn't love a team that's plus 50,000 to win it all, but we love the Cinderella story. So if we want to get some action on some of these long shots, who should we be looking at and how should we be laying the action down?
So one team I did look at to win the whole thing, and you've heard me mention it before, Italy, like I said, they have something to prove in this tournament. And if you look at the line right now, I believe it's something like plus 1100 or plus 1000. So you're getting a lot of value on a team that, like I said, they got something to prove. They missed out of the World Cup. They're going to be angry. They're going to be hungry. They're scoring 4-7 goals a game right now. So they're playing in very good form. I think you can get a lot of value on Italy, even just to win the group stage. I don't know what the number is for the group stage, But if it's plus money, that's something I would definitely recommend taking, for example. Another dark horse team I'm looking at is Denmark. I've watched them play in their last few games. They don't have any big household star names, but they're definitely a team that meshes well together, and they play well from a chemistry perspective. They've been very hot lately. I can't even recall the last time they've lost a game, but it's been definitely more than their last eight, I'm pretty sure. And if actually, I think they only have one loss, and it's like to England in their last 12 games or something like that. But Denmark is definitely a team. I wouldn't take Denmark. So Italy's a team I would look maybe to make the distance in the tournament, because they do have those big names like Lorenzo Insigne, Ciro Immobile. These are guys that, yeah, they're not your all-star Ronaldos, but these are very good players, and they've been very good. So they definitely, when put together, though, that's a team that can make a run. Denmark, on the other hand, I would look at them like they're not good enough to win the tournament, in my opinion, but I think they definitely have a chance to win the group as an upset portion, because I've seen them go toe-to-toe with teams like Belgium and England, and those are the top three teams, some of the top three teams in the planet. So that's two teams I would be looking at for sure, Italy and Denmark.
So to add some context here, Denmark plus 235 to come out of their group, Belgium sitting there at minus 130. On the flip side, Italy, there's a minus 180 and there's a minus 200. We don't like laying that heavy juice. So maybe the better option is, hey, let's take them to go the distance right there. And looking at that Belgium-Denmark group, we got Russia sitting there at plus 525. I know they're a complete wild carder, so I've heard. What are your thoughts on Russia?
So I think Russia has a pretty good team. I've seen them play. I wouldn't call them a big household all-star team, but I've seen them play. I've seen them go toe-to-toe. I don't think they're good enough to beat your Belgiums, your Englands, but they could make it out of the group over Denmark. But I think this is actually a great group, because Belgium, I think, is going to struggle a bit without De Bruyne in the lineup. He's a very good player, probably one of the best players on the Belgium squad. And he's the center attacking midfield. So he controls the entire field. He sets up the plays. He's a very key player. And I feel like looking at Belgium's current roster, they have a lot of depth, but they don't have a player that can actually make up for De Bruyne's absence in the lineup. So that's something where I think Belgium's going to have to change their formation altogether, just to make the forwards and midfields they have work without De Bruyne in the lineup. So they could get caught off guard completely in this group stage. And that's why I think Denmark is definitely a wild card to win that one. Russia, I don't think can win the group, but they could have a chance of squeaking Denmark out for the second spot. I still think Belgium's going to make it through, but if they're going to slip and lose the group, I think Denmark has the best chance to overtake them. I've seen Denmark go toe-to-toe with Belgium in the last couple months, and I don't believe they lost the game, or they might have lost the game, but Russia has played Belgium a few times as well. They tend to be high scoring games, I'll tell you that much. I've seen a 3-2, or was it a 3-3? I can't remember exact scores right now, but yeah, Belgium and Russia, I've seen them go toe to toe. And so that's definitely a group where these teams, they've seen each other quite a bit over the last, just in their UEFA Nations League groups and stuff like that. So it's not like they're not playing a familiar team. This is teams they've dealt with before.
So you mentioned Ronaldo, so let's go down to Group F, aka the Group of Death. And it's interesting, France is the favorite to win the tournament, sitting there at plus 475, but they're just plus 143 to win the group. You're sitting there, France plus 143, Germany plus 175, Portugal plus 290 to come out of that group. So it's interesting that the favorite would be in plus money to come out of their group. What are your thoughts there? Because we've got a lot of firepower.
So this is that group I was talking about, where if you want to play a team to not qualify, this is that group with those three household names in it, like Germany, Portugal, and France. So personally, I think France definitely is the favorite to win the tournament. I think from a talent perspective. They have the best squad. They have the best lineup. They're just, they're so good right now. I think there's a lot of value to take them to win their group at plus 143. So that's definitely, I would actually look to take France to win the group. Now the team to not qualify, I would look at honestly is Germany. I've watched this Germany play over the last few months, and I don't know what it is with them, but they're not the same old Germany that we've seen in the World Cups and the Euro Cups beforehand. This isn't the same team at all that won the World Cup a few years back. This is the team that the players they kept from that World Cup team are now pushing 40 years old. And now they have young players mixed in, but from a chemistry perspective, they're not meshing together. Their defense, they have good players on defense, but they're not playing well when they play for the international squad. I don't know what it is with them, but I've seen them blow leads. I've seen them just go down 2-0. I've seen them let in stupid goals. So Germany is a team. I think Portugal and France come out of that group and Germany gets left behind for sure. Portugal has a lot of good players. They got their Ronaldo, João Felix. They have a strong midfield core too. Germany lacks on the attack quite a bit. So they have a strong midfield core and they have some good defenders in there. But like I said, they don't play well together. And I think when push comes to shove, Portugal has both the defense and the firepower to remove them. And France will just roll over both of them. If anything, I think Portugal has a chance to beat France over Germany.
I love it. I'm on board with Germany not winning that group or qualifying out of there. So you mentioned Ronaldo. One thing I think that people are interested in is the star power, the names that we're going to hear or that we already know from some of these teams. And one of the ways that we can bet it is top goal scorer. Do you have any thoughts on that or any other ways that you like to bet someone who might be the Harry Kanes or the Ronaldos of the world that you say, you know what, I just want to root for them and I want to have some action on that?
Yeah, so I definitely think Kylian Mbappe for France, you kind of have to. He's actually the favorite to win the top goal scorer. And he's the wonder kid. I don't know what to tell you about him. The guy's younger than me and he's playing like a complete all-star. He's the reason that PSG does as well as they do in the regular season. This is a team that if Mbappe wasn't there, I don't think PSG would have even made it as far in the Champions League as they did. They're not a team with a lot of depth. He kind of picked them up and carried them on his back with Neymar there. So Mbappe is definitely a player. That's the obvious pick. Now, if you're looking for maybe another little dark horse, I like Romelu Lukaku. Personally, I think this guy is one of the best strikers on the planet. And he's coming off, he won the award for the most goals in the Italian Serie A this year. So this is a player he carried Inter Milan all season, who Inter Milan did win the Italian Serie A. Big reason, Romelu Lukaku. Who does Lukaku play for? Powerhouse Belgium. And who's out for Belgium right now? De Bruyne, which means Lukaku's got to pick up even more slack on his back, especially since their other striker, Eden Hazard, basically missed the entire La Liga season with injury, and he only creeped back into the lineup in the last few weeks. So definitely, I think the circumstances are right. If anybody's going to score goals for this Belgium team, because they're going to score goals, it's going to be Lukaku, and I think he's got a really good chance. This guy's like one of the best strikers on the planet, in my opinion.
All right, let's look at the live betting side of things, and I'm curious your mindset on that. One opportunity that I've always liked to try and take advantage of is when you find a favorite who gets down early, or we can even see this in the potential series prices or coming out of a group stage. I know in the NBA, the Clippers were just down 0-2. Boom, they go ahead and find a way to beat the Mavericks, where you say, all right, now the Clippers go from being a favorite to plus 300 down 0-2. So certainly in a tournament like this, we're going to see opportunities, whether it's in the live betting or on the day-to-day real-time basis. I'm curious the way that you think about live betting.
So for live betting, I do like to take a big favorite if they go down a goal early in a match, but it depends. Anything that's pushing past 30 minutes starts to get a little risky, especially when you gotta also watch the game. If the team, the big favorite is not dominating in possession, they're not getting the shots on net, that's a team I'm weary of. Are they even going to come back in that game? But if they've been dominating from the start and they have, and a team's down 1-0 at halftime, that's a great thing I love to look at. This team's, they got possession of the ball, they're taking shots on net, they're just dominating in every stat box. That's a team that has the potential to come back in the second half, 100%. Anything, like I said, anything under, I would say, is like even 65% possession. If you're not getting shots on net, if you, like, even if a team's dominating, I've seen teams 75% possession of the ball, 2 shots on net. That's not a team that's coming back. You got to take shots to score goals and come back in the game. So these are things I would look at if you're going to live bet. That's just anything more than a 1-goal deficit, I wouldn't even touch. If the big favorite's down by 2 early in the game, just let it go, because that's a game that could end up be coming out a 2-2 draw for all you know with the 3-way money line. So that's how I would look at live. Now, if we're talking live futures, like I said, I know we've touched on this Belgium team a lot, but I think just the circumstances are right, because this is a team that has the potential to win the entire Euro Cup. And if they're going to go down a little bit because De Bruyne, they can't make up for that. I know for a fact De Bruyne's working really hard to get fit and back in the lineup. So even if he misses the first few couple games and then comes back in, Belgium will be a whole new team. They're the kind of team that has the potential where if their push comes to shove and their back's against the wall and they need to win 20 straight just to get in, they can do it. They actually were on a streak longer than that recently. It just recently got snapped before the Euro Cup here. I think it was in one of the UEFA Nations League or the World Cup qualifying matches. But yeah, they had a large win streak, no draws, no losses. So this is a high quality team that I think they go down in the group early, that's a team that can storm back, especially with the insertion of De Bruyne into the lineup.
All right, as we wrap this up, are there any teams or bets that you want to leave us with to help us have fun or throw some action on our end?
Yeah, you know what? I'll start you up. I have this play up on Covers Experts. It's out as a free play right now. So I'm going to let everybody in the audience know it's the first match this Friday. It's the Italy-Turkey match, and I'm on the over 2.5. You're getting a plus 130 on that. And this, like we said, we're talking about an Italy team, their last two games, 4-0 and 7-0. Now, those were friendly matches, and I don't like to use friendly matches because I find watching friendlies, there's a lot of just lethargicness and just no effort in the game whatsoever. But I like what I see from Italy, because even though it's friendly matches, like I said, coming up off a year where you didn't even make the World Cup, you were left behind, and now you got something to prove. So you're showing me, and yeah, these are friendly matches, but we're here to play. We're getting ready for the tournament. And like I said, Turkey's a high scoring team. I've seen them go 3-2 with France, 4-2. This is a team where, and yeah, this is a team that they score goals. They have some, their defense is, it's okay, but it's nothing great. Italy, they have good, solid midfield. They have a solid attacking core with their Insigne and Immobile there, and they got some pretty good defense. But I think Turkey's going to get a goal, and I definitely think Italy probably wins the game. So, yeah, over 2.5 is what I'm on, but you could look at it like Italy to win and over 2.5, maybe even both teams to score. I think if you can get value on that in that game, I like that even.
I absolutely love it. My takeaways from this: 1, I'm going to be riding with you on Italy. 2, I'm going to be fading Germany. 3, I'm going to be on lots of overs, and I'm going to have so much fun, because part of the fun of sports betting is the community and being on Twitter when we've got a worldwide event going on. And I feel better because I'm more informed about all of this, because you just dropped so much knowledge in terms of the ways to be betting. And I'm going to be staying away from the money lines and spreads. And I don't know if I would have said that before this podcast, because it's a very easy thing to hear someone say, oh, go ahead and take this team, as opposed to you saying, listen, we already have a 50-50 shot on these totals. That to me just makes more logical sense. I'm in more control there. And I am also going to sprinkle some stuff on Mbappe to be the leading goal scorer and a bunch of other stuff. So I had a blast doing this. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, so you can get me on Twitter. My handle is @AM_plusmoney. You can find me on Covers Experts, at Soccer Authority, and you can find me in the Insiders Room Discord.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your Euro 2020 card? There's so many betting options, and you know we're going to be getting down at Covers all the time with this. You can hit me up on Twitter, @RobCressy. Make sure you tag @Covers when you do. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back pump. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.